Thanks, sir, very much for being with us. Now, yesterday, Justice Chandrachud said, if we don't interfere in this case today, we will walk on a path of destruction. So a strong statement for freedoms. Is this because this has not been fairly applied so far?
Look, Vishnu, can you hear me clearly?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Let me tell you that the ethos of our criminal jurisprudence has been that a man is presumed innocent till he is found guilty, and the onus is on the prosecution to prove that a person is guilty. That's the ethos.
Yes.
Unfortunately, what is happening is that the law is kind of turned the turtle on its head. Justice Krishna Iyer said in 1978 that bail is the rule and jail is an exception.
Yes.
But somehow over the years, and I am sorry to say, whether it is the Supreme Court or the High Court, things have changed and our jurisprudence has gone astray. And today, after 50 years of that prophetic statement, it seems to me, appearing every day in such cases or other regular criminal cases or economic cases, that jail is the rule and bail is an exception.
Right.
So much so that even offenses which have a maximum of 7 years, their people are languishing in jail at a pre-trial stage, having put in even 2 years in jail without bail, virtually completing one-third or half of the sentence if they were to be convicted.
Right. And so therefore, sir, that actually brings me to my next point, and it's related to what you're saying. For example, in a hearing on the Bhima Koregaon case today, Indira Jaisingh in another court was arguing for Varavara Rao, who's he's 81 years old. Now, she said that this is a man, he is bedridden, he is on diapers, he cannot control urination, he is with a urine bag, his catheter has not been removed. Is this man going to run away from justice? Therefore, the question is this, sir, is the law on bail being equally applied, and should it also apply in cases where the Unlawful Activities Prevention Act is in place, in cases of medical distress or of age?
Look, Vishnu, the law generally makes an exception for medical or people who are in a severe medical condition, people who are infirm, women, aged. The law does make an exception. And if Indira Jaisingh's facts are correct, then certainly it's a case for bail. But let me tell you, let's not go by one case or the other. According to me, the apex court is the one responsible for sending the correct signals in regard to bail. Now, the apex court, I am sorry to say, and I humbly say, has also lost its way in the last 50 years. And that is why jail is trickling down and not bail by stock arguments of the prosecution that the man will either run away or the man will commit another crime or the man is not trustworthy. Or if you ask me, the general atmosphere has become that let a person spend some time in jail as a punishment, which is completely contrary to law, because by and large it is known that the manner of prosecution and conviction is much poorer in this country than, say, in the US. And by and large, people will get away even if they committed a felony, because the prosecution is not that strong. Therefore, the idea is let him suffer for 6 months or a year. That will be punishment enough, because by and large, a large number of people will get out.
So, sir,
is the kind of thought which has gone on. That thought or that ethos is illegal.
It
is depriving people of bail, which is a fundamental right. Liberty is a fundamental right, not incarceration.
What about the system in which cases are listed? Mr. Rohatgi, the president of, for example, the the president of the Supreme Court Bar Association, Mr. Dave, has said that thousands of citizens remain in jails languishing for long periods while their matters are filed before the Supreme Court. These are often now listed for weeks and months. Is it therefore fair, sir, that in the case involving Arnab Goswami and the others, that gets listed instantly?
I am aware of this accusation by the president of the bar, but I entirely disagree with it. And I will tell you a reason. The reason is not that there is a particular person who is powerful and who has to get justice by going in first rather than waiting in a queue. That is not so. The case which you are talking about yesterday was a case where there is an attempt to muzzle the press. It was a series of cases which started in Arunabh's case about a couple of months ago. I had appeared for him earlier in the Supreme Court. Then an issue was raised in the assembly 2 weeks ago as to what is happening with this fellow. Why is he being allowed? Then the minister granted the fresh investigation, which was illegal. Therefore, it was a case of muzzling the press. Mind you, if the press is muzzled, you are looking at the dark period of emergency. And if that comes down and percolates down, and the courts also back down as they did in the emergency, which was an infamous period even for the Supreme Court, then let me tell you, God save this country.
No, but Mr. Rohatgi, that point, the point that you mentioned about freedom of the press, I mean, we live for that. I mean, we all of us over here in this profession live for that. That's the basis of our existence.
But sir,
there are cases.
Goswami,
right.
A case of muzzling the press, if you ask me, is equal to 1,000 bail petitions. Ideally, everybody should be heard.
But there are all sorts of bail petitions, sir. Muzzling the press, of course, it's criminal, absolutely. It goes against our ethos. But what about other cases? For example, activists, political activists, workers in Kashmir, who've been desperate now for more than a year, right? I brought you the example of one Bhima Koregaon case. There are other cases as well. For example, Stan Swamy, a man suffering from Parkinson's, is denied bail. The NIA wanted 20 days to reply to an application. He wanted to use a straw and sipper in prison to drink water. So isn't this the same part of the same problem?
Firstly, I have two comments to make. Two wrongs cannot make a right. The case yesterday was rightly heard. A sound message was sent to the entire judiciary that the high courts are failing in their duty. If they fail, the lower courts fail and everybody fails. Now, in regard to the cases that you have mentioned, whether of Mr. Rao, whether Swami or whatever cases you are mentioning, I don't know the facts. From whatever I've read in the papers, they also deserve the same attention as cases of the press. I am not saying no at all. Ideally, everybody deserves to be heard early. Everybody deserves bail. No doubt about it. But in the limited time or constraint that we have, the cases that you mentioned also must get priority. In fact, everybody who is about 75 or 80 years of age in jail as an under trial must get priority. There is no question about it. And it's a violation of Article 21. And squarely, the blame will lie on the courts.
What about the issue of people tweeting and then ending up behind bars looking for bail? Is there not a larger question that the issue of bail also comes up when people are being picked up for no grounds at all? For example,
I agree with you. I agree with you. We need a strong judiciary because the prosecution is riding roughshod. It is steamrolling. In many, many cases that I have seen, as I gave you an example, you see every day money laundering, money laundering, money laundering. The maximum sentence for money laundering is 7 years. But yet I have large number of clients for whom I'm fighting, who've already put in 1 to 2 years as an under trial. It is completely unacceptable. Completely unacceptable. Therefore, the judiciary must be strong. It must give a resounding slap to these kind of oppositions to bail, and I think the message which the bench gave yesterday should be properly understood not only by the courts but also by the prosecution, that we are not in a system where everybody must be put in jail. Look at the situation of jails at least four, five, six times over. The capacity, the jails are crowded because of all this. I have no doubt that we need to have a relook. We need to have a relook. The judiciary, the Supreme Court must have a relook so that it filters down. And in the relook, we must do an audit. So you can have a legal audit. Let us find out how many people are in jail for what kind of offenses in the last so many months or years. See what is the conviction rate. Therefore, this has become punitive. A refusal of bail was never meant to be punitive. Punitive is punishment which is after conviction and after a trial.
In fact, there are 1 lakh more prisoners in Indian jails.
This is what is happening.
Than the maximum capacity.
Everybody must
I've got that number. I've got the number, sir. There are almost 1 lakh more prisoners in Indian jails than the maximum capacity now. Many of them deserve to be there, but a large number are under trial. So the system itself cannot have so many under trials whose cases need to be looked at for bail.